Welcome back to another session of Thursday Evening Musa Shir, and we are on, we're still in love. We're still in love, Baruch Hashem, and we're on Daf Mem Tes, on the bottom of Mem Tes, and this is Shir number 3 for Shahr Ha'ava. So far we've covered just about all of the different kinds of loves, and let's just remember that we have the negative type of love before we have the positive, and we're on the last one of the negative ones, number 7. Od Yesh Ava Shviyas. There is one other love, and that's the seventh love, Shehi Ro'a Al Kol Ha'avos. And he goes on record to say, this is the worst of all the loves, if it's used the wrong way. Vihi, and this is Ahavas Tanugim. This is the love for Tanugim, which means physical pleasures. Tafnugim, indulgences. And he gives examples. And we'll read through the paragraph first, and then we'll try to explain. Kagon, for example, Achila, eating, Shtia, drinking, Shohanos, all other kinds of pleasures of life, Kigon, for example, Znus, immorality, promiscuousness, Vitiulim, and, excursions, Vein, Tzorech, Laharich, Boazeho, Inyan. And he continues to tell us that there's no need to elaborate on this, because Ki Oev, Yayin, and Mishtaker, someone who loves wine, and becomes intoxicated, drunk, v'yochel tamid madanim, and a person who constantly, regularly eats exotic foods, v'holech lebeis hamishta tadir, and goes to the restaurant regularly, hu yishkach boro, he says the end will be that he will forget the Creator, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, k'dichsiv, proves it from a pasuk in Devarim, v'yachalta v'savata, you will eat and be satiated, hisham alecha, watch out for yourself, pentishkach as Hashem, lest you forget Hashem, v'yachalta v'savata, furthermore it says, hisham alechem, watch out for yourselves. This will cause one's heart to sway and to turn and to serve the gods of others. And furthermore, it says, let's just finish the paragraph. The Jewish people became Vayishman, from the word Shomein, became fat. Vayivot, and they kicked Hashem. Now, if we turn back and we take a look at each one of them, first of all, we have to be very careful. Again, we remind ourselves to point the finger at ourselves and no one else. But obviously, the Aruch HaTzadikim is addressing those people who have a love for pleasures and indulging. And he's beginning, it's interesting that he starts off with the number one thing is achila. Now, obviously, a person needs to eat to live. But do we live to eat or eat to live? That's the question. We are supposed to be eating to live. And there are people who live to eat. And when you go by a restaurant and on the front window of the restaurant there's a big sign in color that reads, all you could eat for $9.99, this is what he's talking about. All you could eat. So that means the person is entering into this restaurant for one purpose only, assuming he's going for that, whether it's a salad bar that all you could eat. I mean, come on. You eat because you're supposed to be satisfied, you're supposed to be satiated, you're hungry, you have a meal, fine. I told him I know him, go out to a restaurant, no, nothing wrong. But all you could eat says it all. Included in this achila is, how much do we attribute, how much time and effort and our hours in the day do we use on food, or thinking about food, or preparing for food. Now, of course, this does not underestimate, a good housewife, or if it's the man of the house who's preparing the food, that he needs to do a good job, and he tastes it, and he seasons it properly. And certainly if it's for the honor of Shabbos, or an occasion, a simcha, or the regular meal where the people who are going to be eating need to be, satisfied with the food. Nothing wrong with that. But if a person salivates regular over the food, and he can't get enough of it, or he goes on to the next one, shtia. I mean, let's be very blunt here. Lay the cards on the table. Again, pointing a finger at ourselves. Do we have to have the Perrier water? Or the faucet water is okay? It seems that all the studies, by the way, or most of them anyway, show that health-wise, the faucet water is better. And they even did taste tests, and the taste tests come out that the faucet water is better. And we're paying, who knows how much money for bottled water. And it's become a craze. And certainly, if it's become a name brand, not to mention the fact that Evian, spelled backwards, is naive. Just for the record. So we have to keep this in mind, that if we can get away with regular, you know, water or whatever it is, does it have to be the most expensive wine? Good to have a nice bottle of wine. You go out to a restaurant, you're a special occasion, anniversary, whatever it is, you want to have a bottle, fine. But it has to be azons and azolachs, and it has to be bought from the wine list, you know, the top of the list. Again, pointing a finger at ourselves, Shra knows, Kugons knows. Okay, immorality, obviously, needs no explanation. Teyulim. Now, teyulim, again, don't ever point a finger at someone else. But we always try to remember, remind ourselves of the note that we showed here. You haven't lived until you've cruised, right? We show you the sign. It's right here. I carry it along in my sefer. And it says very clearly. Now, this, they're paying advertising agencies a lot of money for this kind of advertisement, because simply because it works. If I can find it here, that is. Ah, here it is. Nope. You haven't lived until you've cruised. Now, this is sending a subtle message that, you know, when you look at it and you haven't been on a cruise, you must be dead. I mean, basically, that's what it's telling you. Now, I don't say there's anything wrong with going on a cruise, but special occasion, if you can afford it, fine. I have no, you know, everyone has different tastes. I have no desire to be on a cruise myself. Other desires, but, you know, but fine. But to tell me that you haven't lived until you've been on cruise, or you must go to Azons and Azolachs, you know, people go to the Swiss Alps. And, you know, in the generation that we live, youngsters are getting adjusted to going on these excursions at a younger age. And when one school, 2-3 years ago, I believe it was a girls' school up in Canada, that for their graduation trip, they wanted to go to the Swiss Alps. And the parents were pushing very much for it. So the principal of the school, Baruch Hashem, had a meeting of all the parent body, and he gathered them together and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, just one question I have for you. If when they graduate 12th grade, when they're 16 years old, they're going to the Swiss Alps, where are their husbands going to take them? Where are they going to go for a honeymoon? What is there to look forward to if at 16, 17 years old you're going to the Swiss Alps?" So in other words, it does it call for an occasion, a graduation, finds a milestone, very nice, a juncture in life where you want to celebrate, fine. But does it have to be a teyulim? So this is why he uses one of the examples of an indulging in a teyul. Again, every person has to judge himself. Now, when we turn the page and he says that a person who is loves wine and mishtaker and eats exotic foods constantly, again, you know, it's become a craze of sushi. You know, if you go to a wedding, a bar mitzvah these days, and I don't have a sushi bar. What kind of bar mitzvah is this? What kind of wedding is this? You don't have a sushi bar. Or if you go to a bar mitzvah and there's more bar than mitzvah, you know, this is also somewhat of a problem. So we have to keep this in mind. If the foods that we're eating, are we eating to maintain our health and to maintain our physical stability so that we're here to serve Hashem? And if we're eating for that purpose, fine. Now people, he goes on to Holech Lebeis Hamish to Tadir. People who regularly visit restaurants. Again, you know, we have to ask ourselves a question. Does it have to be a minig Yisrael that every week, or twice a week, three times a week? Again, looking at ourselves in the mirror. These are he considers indulgences. Amols, an occasion, you go, fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I just want to point out at the very end of the paragraph when he said Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat. This was sort of like, now so he says that Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, that Klal Yisrael became fat and they kicked Hashem. There's an interesting halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. If you want to look it up, it's in the Mechab in the Shulchan Aruch, where he says clearly, it's in Chof Hei Simen Hei, he says that there is a direct correlation between someone who overindulges and forgetting Hashem. That's the way, that's the human nature. A person who overindulges, he has more than he needs, somehow, some way, he's going to forget Hashem. Now, of course, it's commensurate. Now, overindulging doesn't necessarily have to be in food. It can be in the lifestyle that we have. You know, that means a person has 4 or 5 cars, he is more apt to forgetting God than a person who makes it with one or two cars. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So the next paragraph continues, and he says, after mentioning and enumerating all of the terrible kinds of loves, or the loves that are used in the wrong manner, so he says like this, one who seeks to escape from the trap of all of these loves, listen to the language, it requires great chachma, wisdom, imutz rav, means fortitude, courageousness, courage. Pen yilochid bish chisusam, in order to avoid getting caught in the web of its corruption. Ki kol ahavos ha'ile makifas haslev ha'adam, all of these loves constantly surround, encompass a human being, his heart. V'im yitche ahava achas o shtayim mikirbo, if I get rid of the food and the drink, guess what? I will have the other, the furniture, the car, the house, that will still bring a person from light to the darkness. Al kain, therefore, yeish lilametcha. The Aruch HaSadikim says, I need to teach you. A person needs to be very careful and eager, enthusiastic, to make use of all of these loves, lodas bohem darke Hashem Baruch Hu, to use these loves in order to grow in his understanding of Hashem, like it says in the pasuk written by Shlomo HaMelech and Mishlei, bechol derachecha da'ehu, in all of your ways get to know Hashem. Now notice the language here. He doesn't say don't have these loves whatsoever. He says a person has to be careful, ishtamesh bechol ovas oela lodas bohem Darkei Hashem. It doesn't say get rid of them. It just says harness these loves in the right fashion, in the right manner, so that I can use the love to serve Hashem better. Now, of course, in the next page or two, he's going to go through again every one of the loves that we enumerated, all the seven loves, and he's going to show us the right way how to apply these loves. But number one, we have to know, in order, as a sort of like an introduction, man needs to know that we're not instructed to get rid of love. Love is an emotion, and love is something which we would have, and we'll find out in a few moments that if a person doesn't use this character trait of love, he won't get too far in life. It's very necessary for normal functioning. But on the other hand, we have to be very careful that we don't use the loves in the manner that he just described in these first seven paragraphs to abuse, in other words, to abuse the love and misconstrue the love and use them in the wrong way. Okay, so we go on. The next paragraph, he begins to describe to us the proper manner in which a person should approach these loves. And the first one is Avas Bonav Tiyah Al Derech Zeh. The love for one's children should be in the following manner. Sheyachshov, he should think, the parents should think, Lahadrich Bonav Bedarkei HaMishpat, to guide their children in the ways of Mishpat. The word Mishpat means justice. Notice, he didn't use a different word, which we use sometimes in our houses, and the children often say it when they don't like when things go their way. They say it's not fair. You ever hear that said before? It's not fair. In Israel they use it, ze lo fair. All right, that's what they say. And you think about it, when a person says it's not fair, you know what they really mean. It's not equal. That's what it means. He has that, I want that. She has that, I want. So it's not fair, they get it, I don't get it. Fair? We're not supposed to run. In fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not run the world according to fairness. Because there are many things that happen. God forbid, you see people are getting sick and people die and people lose money. Doesn't seem to be fair to me. He doesn't run the world according to fairness. But he runs it according to justice. We don't understand his justice. And so when a parent is raising a child, they have to know, and that's why he uses the word bedarkei hamishpat, to use it. That's right, it's tough love. Tough love. It has to be justice. So I know, for example, in my house, anytime the children get upset about something, they're about to say it, and they say, well, is it just? And then, you know, they catch it. They catch themselves. So that's number one. Guide children, bedarkei hamishpat, justice. Ulalamdam, and teach them Masei Avodas Hashem Baruch Hu, the ways of Hashem, Ulatzavos Bonav Acharov, and to instruct your children after you, la'avodas Hashem Baruch Hu, to serve Hashem, k'inyin shenema, based on a pasuk in Yeshayo, ov lebanim yodia el amisecha, a father will let truth known to his children. Now this refers to an amazing incident that happened in Tanakh, Chizkiyo HaMelech, who saw in prophecy that if he were to be married and have a child, his child was going to be a Rasha. He saw this in advance in prophecy. He therefore chose not to get married. He doesn't want to have children. So Hashem came to him, and Hashem said, your job is to be mekayim the mitzvah, to be married. And your job is to have children. The result of what's going to be your children is up to me. And if not, you can say goodbye to the world now. And he reached a point where he knew he was going to die, and he changed his mind, and he foresaw Taka who was going to have, and he did Taka end up with Menashe HaMelech. And Menashe HaMelech was such a wicked person. He erected an idol in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, so all the visitors needed to bow down to the idol on their way to the Beis HaMikdash. Amazing. Amazing Russia that he... And this is what Chizkiyo saw. Hashem says, it's not your business. That's my business. You get married, have children. So because he finally said to Hashem, I will get married, and if I have a child, I will teach him your ways, Hashem let him live and gave him 15 years more of his life. And Itaka got married, and he had... eventually did have Menashe HaMelech. So that's what this pasuk is referring to. Uksiv, and furthermore it says in Devarim, V'hodatam levanecha v'levnei banecha. Teach, you should inform your children and the children of your children. This, by the way, is the Rambam's famous source of... this is the mitzvah that a person has obligation to teach his child and grandchild to ensure that it will never be forgotten. So you have three generations, because once you have three generations, it's a guarantee the chain won't be broken. So you have the person himself, you have his child, and you have the grandchild. Okay, that's where the source of this halacha is. Ukmo shenema b'Avram, like it says by Avram, ki yedativ, Hashem said about Avram, I know him. L'man asher yitzaveh es bonav es beiso acharav, that he will instruct his children and his household after him. V'shamru derech Hashem, that they will keep the ways of Hashem. There's an amazing Rashi on that pasuk. I'm going to read the words. I wrote the words down of the Rashi. The Rashi on that pasuk says, "Kol hamamid ben tzadik ki'ilu lo meis." Anybody is interested in not dying. Anybody is interested in living forever. A person who establishes a tzon, who is a righteous person, ki'ilu lo meis, is as if he never died. So you live forever. If you establish in your, you know, from your seed should come a righteous person, a tzaddik, based on this pasuk. The avas hamamon tiyal derech zeh. Now that we took care of the love for children in the proper manner, this is the love for money. Tiyal derech zeh should be in the following manner: she yoav mamono lamana shelo yachmon momen acherim v'lo yistorech lignov v'ligzol. A person should develop a closeness to his money, a love for his money, so to speak, so that he will not come on to the need to steal and to rob others. In other words, his relationship with his money is not a love for the sake of the money. His relationship with the money is a love so that he can take care of his needs and he won't have to steal. In fact, I'll bring you a proof about this. You know, in the Maisa and the Parsha that we just had, that Yaakov Avinu was crossed over the Yabok River, right, to go put his life in danger, to go to the other side, to get the Pachim Ketan and the small pots. No, so why does he have to? So there are many different Mefarshim deal with it. Why did he have to go get the small pots? He was a multimillionaire at that time. Small pots he needs. What's the big deal? Go into Macy's and buy a new pair set of pots. You have all the money you want, right? So Rabbi Aaron Kotler explains that Yaakov Avinu was afraid in case of the maybe improbable possibility later on in life that he would lose much of his money and he would be left with very little, and possibly he would have the urge to go and take from someone else illegally. So he says, I want to go get those pots so I won't have to steal, so I don't want to put myself in that position. Imagine, you're talking about Yaakov Avinu. I mean, what are the chances? What are the chances, number one, that he's going to go broke? No, Well, if you knew the economics today, you'd see what are the chances to go broke. So that's right. You can go broke, you can have who knows how much, and you're left with nothing. Right? I just heard someone yesterday, a friend of mine told me that he knows someone, an acquaintance of his, who lost $20 million in the last 2 months. He lost $20 million. All he has left is his house and his car. And the bank is after his house now. That's all he has, his house and his car. Nope. So Yaakov Avinu, what are the chances he's going to lose all the money? And what are the chances that Yaakov is going to steal? That's what the Aruch HaTzaddikim says. Develop a love for your money so that you have to be able to take care of your needs and not have to steal from others. Let's continue below your story, Lekabel Tzedakah, and you won't have to be put in a position that you have to go around begging from others to accept charity. Ach, mishalo yifarnes acherim. Just to the contrary, you'll be able to support others. V'yal beishani and v'yachilim. You'll be able to buy clothing and give food to the paupers. V'yachzik b'mamono lom deitori yiras Hashem. And be able to sustain with the money that you have people who study Torah and people who are God-fearing, who can't afford to live on their own. V'gam machmas ashro yafne atzmo meiske ha'olam hazeh. Listen to this. If a person is blessed with wealth, he should love his wealth so that now he can leave his business. He can turn away from his business, whether it's part-time or full-time. V'yikvaitim l'Torah, and he can set aside time to study Torah. U'lekima mitzvahs, and he can be busy with mitzvahs. He can go visit people in hospitals. He doesn't have to stay in the office all day, right? Ho'il v'yisipek miyado, since he has the ability, he can afford it. V'lo yiftach berov chelo l'iskos. And furthermore, he says, never develop the love for the money that it should bring the person to have trust in his money so much so that it makes him a balgaiva, to become haughty. Ach yikne b'mamona hakolev. Rather, a person should acquire with his money, which is transitory, chaye olam haba, the life of olam haba, she'ino kolev, which is not transitory, of course, which is permanent. V'al derech zeh yo'av mamono. And in this fashion, he should love his money. In other words, the money becomes a tool to serve Hashem. That's why it's quote-unquote kosher money, and therefore it's a kosher love, because I have no problem with the relationship I have with my money. Interesting, by the way, that the last line that he said here, that a person should acquire with his money which is transitory, something which is permanent, olam haba. You know, money, one of the words used for money in the Gemara is zuzim. Why? Because it moves from one place to the next. That's the purpose of money. In fact, money in those days anyway was round. Coins are round. It's because they circulate. They're supposed to move from one place to another. And I just want to share with you an insight, if you allow me, in the situation that we're living through now. We're living through history now with the economy, what's going on. That Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in the early 1900s, when we had a similar situation, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman gathered the people together, and he wrote, in fact, a mikhtav, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, pays measure for measure, mida keneged mida. And there are people who had more money than they need, but they were hoarding it, holding on to it, not putting away to make a chasana. More than that, absolutely no need for the money. And there were nebuch people who didn't have money, and they weren't moving the money from one place to another. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu zuzim, and moves around. Hashem samida keneged mida. You're not moving the money around? I'm going to move the money around. And the first place I'm going to move it from is from you. Because you were supposed to move it from you to circulate it in other places where there was a need. Nusi, you wonder if in the days that we're living now, again, Chas v'Shalom can't point a finger at anybody else. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't necessarily mean wealthy people. It doesn't have to be a millionaire. If a person, you know, the common person who has, $100,000 in the bank, who has $50,000 in the bank, or $10,000 in the bank, and he knows that basically he doesn't have a need for it, no, and there's somebody else in the community that has a need for it, so he should make it his business to circulate the money that he has. Doesn't mean necessarily give it all away. You know, it has to be done with seichel in a proper manner. But at least to some degree, sitting in the bank, what's good is going to do sitting in the bank? Certainly not going to do too much good these days. You know, how much are you going to get for sitting in a bank? There are people who are taking their money out of the banks, putting it in the mattresses, right, to make sure it lasts. So this is the manner in which we should love our money. One more short one, ve'avas noshim, the love for women, tiyeh al derech zeh, should be in the following manner. Sheyachshov, it should be in the following manner. Sheyachshov, the person should think, and obviously he's talking to a man. Shoyisha matzi lasu min achet, the wife that he has saves him from sin. Umarachto min aniyov, and it keeps him away from being promiscuous. Uba makayim pir v'rivya, and with his wife he's able to fulfill the mitzvah of procreation. V'hi megadelas es banav, and she raises the children. V'hi ovedes lo kol yomea, and she toils so hard for him all of her life, all of her days. U'mechina lo macholav, and she prepares his food for him. U'shar tzochei abayis, and the other needs of the house. U'mitoch kach, and because of this, u'ponui lilmo Torah, it frees him up to study Torah, v'lasok b'mitzvos, to be involved in mitzvos. And she is the ozer for him. She is the helpmate for him. She is the assistant for him all of her days, so that he can dedicate it to Hashem. Now, of course, there's a lot to talk about when we get into the issue of the love that a man should have for his wife. And he really in 5-6 lines here encapsulated much of what the love should be. Number one, I want to make mention that the Medrash Rabbah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai to give the Torah to the Jewish people, he gave it to the women folk first. Kosoma lebeis Yaakov, so you should say to the Beis Yaakov, which is the women folk, v'sagidu b'nei Yisrael, and then you should repeat it to the men folk. Why was it that the women, what is it, ladies first? Ladies first is not a Torah concept. We don't go for ladies first. The ladies first means something else. Ladies are more choshev in the Torah's eyes than men. In fact, there is no obligation for a woman to study Torah, and because the purpose of learning Torah is to develop a closer relationship with God, and women by nature have a closer relationship with God, so they don't have a chiyuv, an obligation to study Torah. These days, I have girls' schools because it's not passed on the Torah or the halachos and the hashkafa, the philosophy, Jewish philosophy, Torah philosophy that a girl needs is not passed down from mother to daughter anymore because women are too busy working, unfortunately. Or fortunately or unfortunately, you know, that's the way it is. So they have to come up with a system of schooling for women. But basically, the Medrash Rabbah says that the reason why the Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah to the women folk first was because they, women, are more eager to do mitzvahs, and they will lead their children consequently to follow the Torah more than the husband will. And that's one of the reasons given why, you know, so just the husband thinking about this, that will strengthen the love that he has for his wife, because look at the position that she's put in. Also, a man's obligation, of course, according to the Rambam, Oave kegufa umechabde yosu migufa. A man must love his wife as much as he loves himself, and he must honor his wife more than he honors himself. So you see, by the way, that the relationship of love between the husband and a wife is not, not to be taken lightly. Person made a cheshbin. I don't know, I'm almost afraid to say this, and please don't repeat this to my wife. If a person made a cheshbon of how much his wife does for him on a regular basis, it's incredible, the list would never end. How many things a wife does, you know, from the cooking to the laundry to the caring of the household and necessities and the children and the dressing and the shopping and all the things that go on aside from the, you know, the more, more important, say, less important, more important, as important, the relationship that we have, you know, when we put on our tefillin in the morning, we men, when we wrap the tefillin straps around our fingers, we say, Ve'rastech li li'olam, which basically means, I should be betrothed to you forever. Ve'rastech. That means, I should be betrothed to you, Hashem, forever. Now, why is the word ve'erastich used? Ve'erastich, betrothed, really means, erusin means engagement. Why don't we say that the relationship that we're going to have with Hashem is marriage? Why engagement? Now imagine, by the way, the rabbis say, the Chazal say, that when we wrap the tefillin around the fingers, it's an allusion to the ring that the husband puts onto the wife under the chuppah. That's the round winding up the tefillin around the fingers. So why do we use ve'erastich, engagement? Use a stronger language, marriage. Because take a look at the relationship between the young man and the young woman when they're engaged. Look at the fond feelings. Look at the sensitivity. You know, what isn't it interesting how careful they are with one another? You know, it sounds like a joke, but how much truth is to it? When, you know, if the husband, if the chassan and kala are walking together down the street, and the chassan, trips on something and he falls. So what does the kala say? Oi, my dear, what can I do for you? Call Hatzola, help me, she goes, whatever she can do. They're married for 10, 15 years, the same thing happens, they're walking down the street, he trips on something and he falls. What are you, a schlump or something? You don't know how to walk straight? What happened? What happened? Look at the way the kala looks at her chassan with those dreamy eyes. Right? You see what happens? Is she looking the same way with the dreamy eyes after 15, 20 years of marriage? That's why that the word ve'erastich li'olam is used. Because the relationship Hashem wants with us is not necessarily the relationship of marriage. He wants the fond, sensitive relationship that we have during the engagement time, during that courtship time. That's why ve'erastich. Now, obviously, marriage and through the years of marriage, the love and relationship is deepening. Of course, it's not shallow like it was during the engagement time. But, of course, these are the things we have to keep in mind, not to forget as well, by the way, that if there's love between a husband and a wife, there's oneness, and there's a hint in the words. The word ahava, which means love, and the word echad, which means one, both have the same numerical value as 13. Both, to show that when there is love, there's going to be oneness. So this is the love that a man should have for his wife. And of course, we can speak much more about it. But we'll end here, and Mirza Shem, we'll get together in 2 weeks. Have a wonderful evening.